We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
A foursome, a classic jazz record, was made by Willie Dunn and his gin bottle four. No connection, or hardly any, with our four. John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. In charge of arithmetical matters, Leonie Lawson.
Gin bottle four, a big quadratonic.
I could see you were working on something. That's what it was. Yes. John, as it happens, I was present, and perhaps you were too, at the first performance of this marvellous work. What was it, John?
It's the Serenade by Benjamin Britten. Mm-hmm. I was at the first performance.
Yes.
Dennis Brain played the horn. Right. Walter Gurr conducted.
Yes.
And it was in the Wigmore Hall.
1943.
Yes.
And I was there too, and we never knew each other, did we, in those days?
The funny thing is that, unless this is the next question.
No.
There's a bit at the beginning and a bit at the end, which is to be played on the natural notes of the horn. And they aren't well-tempered.
Without using the vowels.
Without using the stoppers. Mm. And that means that they are slightly out of tune according to, the well-tempered scale. And some critic foozled it and criticised Dennis Brain for playing flat.
Of all people.
Of all people.
That unplayable, wonderful
part. Astonishing, that bit of horn playing.
Yes, absolutely wonderful, yeah. Talking of Britten, Joy Bozeman wrote to me from Petersfield in Hampshire. Britten used to stay with her family when he was a schoolboy. Let me just read you briefly from her letter. She said, "My father once persuaded Britten to play the piano for our parish party in the village. Mendelssohn's Rondo Capriccioso, brilliantly played, was greeted with polite applause. But when he played an imitation of God Save the King as an old-fashioned gramophone running down, the villagers were enchanted. Ah, they said, he's a real musician." Frank, Spike Hughes, the writer and critic, wrote that a certain work offers, this is quoting him, "a wish fulfillment of something all amateur pianists would love to do, namely to make a huge noise on the piano with an orchestra. Which piece do you think?" And then we'll check to see if you're right.
Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody.
Well, no, with an orchestra, you see, that's really written for solo piano.
Oh, was it?
It'll do as a very good noisy piece for piano. Can I play you just a few bars of the piece he actually meant?
Yes, go on. Tchaikovsky's.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's that flopping with the hands.
Well, that's right. It's a good choice because the pianist part is very easy indeed, while the orchestra has all the work to do. It happens a lot in song recitals. I often think about this, Ian, when the singer is singing, oh, and the pianist is going.
All I can say is that in some cases it is more difficult actually to go than it is to go. But not always.
Yes. Ian, your question. Two quite independent supporters of ours, Rosalind Kay of Colchester and Mary Lee of Cricklewood, saw posters advertising performances of Handel's Acis and Gala Tea. My question is, what's the title of this famous aria from Acis and Galatea, and who's singing it? Title, please.
Title, O Ruddier Than the Cherry.
Yes.
Preceded by the recitative, I Rage, I Melt, I Burn. Sung by Polyphemus, One-Eyed Monster. And the singer.
Yes, would be nice.
The singer, yes, I know who the singer is, too. There are There are two sort of famous English recordings of this. There are probably more, but one is with my friend and colleague who was once on this programme, Owen Branigan.
Yeah.
And that's not that one.
No.
But I think this is Forbes Robinson.
Forbes Robinson it was. Oh, ruddier than the cherry from Aces and Galatea.
Not forgetting Peter Dawson, hundreds of years ago.
Oh, of course.
Wonderful.
Yes.
It should, Steve, it should really have been Ices and Galatea, shouldn't it?
Yes, I hope the two ladies, Rosalind Kay and Mary Lee, will thank you for that. Lovely, of course it should be. Dennis, the name of this tune eludes me. Would you put me straight, please?
Didn't elude you at all, otherwise it was the Johnson Rag.
Johnson Rag, yes, it was the Johnson Rag. There are a lot of Johnsons around in jazz. In fact, try this, anybody, for a bonus mark. If James P. and Pete and Bunk made a record together, what would the instrumentation be? James P., Pete and Bunk Johnson.
Bunk Johnson was a cornet player.
Yep.
James P. Johnson was... New Orleans jazz player.
Yes, on the what, though?
On the piano.
Yes, and Pete Johnson?
Pete Johnson, I don't know. I can't remember.
Shall I give you a clue on the piano?
I was boogie woogie player.
So, cornet and two pianos. You've got, you've got the bonus mark.
Yeah.
John Philip Sousa once fell through the stage of the Drill Hall, Merthyr Tydfil. So you didn't know that, did you?
I thought you were going to say true or false.
This is true. I've come across some fascinating episodes in British musical history because I've been reading a book called The Musical Gazetteer of Great Britain and Ireland. Debussy, for instance, visiting London in 1903, went to Covent Garden for Wagner's Ring Cycle, and then he took himself off to the Empire Music Hall, as he said, as a reward for good behaviour. Which I suspect he may have preferred to the Wagner. Anyway, out of this book, John, which eminent composer visiting London fell asleep during a performance of his own oratorio, St. Elizabeth?
Well, if it wasn't Brahms, he was Liszt.
Which is why he nodded off, I know. Yeah. Yes, it was Franz Liszt. Fell asleep during a performance of his own composition. Rather sweet. Frank, John Philip Sousa did a command performance at Sandringham, after which King Edward VII awarded him, Sousa, the Medal of the Victorian Order. "Where shall I pin it?" the king asked the composer. And Sousa replied, "What, do you think?"
You didn't mention that Sousa was a nudist.
No, I didn't.
But why on earth would the king ask, "Where will I pin it?"
What happened was, the king said, "Where shall I pin it?" And Sousa replied, "Over my heart."
Oh.
Pretty diplomatic answer, yes. Ian, a 19th century reviewer in the Dramatic and Musical Review wrote of a composer, "Musically speaking, he is a lunatic. He writes undisguised nonsense. He is a kind of orchestral Liszt than which nothing could be more intensely disagreeable." Who do you think might that have been?
A 19th century composer?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't think it was serious old Brahms.
No, earlier.
Oh.
Fantastic composer.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, Berlioz.
Well, that did help him. Yes, that's right, Berlioz. How did you arrive at that?
By your splendid hint. Yes. I wouldn't have got it otherwise.
Yeah, it was Berlioz. Liszt, I can inform you now, gave a concert recital at the Odd Fellows Hall in Halifax. There's no answer to that, is there?
Did he fall through the stage?
Not there, no, no. But he did give a concert in a Welsh town which was cancelled because nobody turned up. That's a thought.
I used to know an old boy who claimed that he heard Liszt play. Mm. He was a lovely Cockney gentleman, and he said, "I heard Liszt play, you know. I was four at the time." And he was born in 1882. Liszt was here in 1886. Mm. And after he told me this, several years running, I said, "Can you remember anything about it? I mean, what he looked like, or what he played, or why you went?" And he said, eventually, after thinking about it for a week, and he said, "Well, I remember when he came on, I said, 'Who's that old woman?'" And then I asked him if he could remember what Liszt played. He said, no, I can't remember. So I said, can you remember why you were taken? He said, yes. They said, Horace, you've been very naughty. If you go on being naughty, we'll take you to hear Liszt play the piano.
It's punishment. I've got a little list.
It's very logical, because that's like the Mikado song of the one of the punishment was being taken to classical Monday pops.
That's right.
Spohr and Beethoven.
Yes. Dennis, the composer Haydn wrote on an English visit, "Today I went to look at the city and found halfway up the hill a building shaped like a half moon, so magnificent that I have seen nothing like it in London. The curve extends for 100 fathoms. Can you work out, Dennis, which city? A fathom,
what's
6 feet.
A fathom?
It's about 600 feet.
600 feet in a curve?
Right. Yes. The building extends.
And you
curve.
Go up a hill?
Yes.
What is... No, the Nash...
What would you call
it? Bath. Would it be Bath?
Bath. It was in. It's the Royal Crescent in Bath. Royal Crescent in Bath. Yes, well guessed. That's good.
Mm. Well, good to talk about fathoms for the bath.
Yes.
Arising out of the piano medley that I am about to embark upon, I would like 8 titles, please. 4 from John Frank, 4 from Ian and Dennis. And their names I want. 7 people and 1 fruit.
Could you give a cough when you finished the first 4?
All right, just the
I
ones,
can't
I'll...
see the joy.
Yes, I'll do 7 that. People and 1 what? Because my finger slipped, not to help you. Right, the first 4 tunes. John, the first one.
The first one was Schumann.
Yes, the title that I wanted a name, remember, well, apart from his name.
Is it from Carnival?
Yes, so it starts with E. Or U. It's named after a famous Portuguese football player.
Eusebius.
Eusebius.
But you got Schumann, so that counts there.
The what name is the second tune?
Chloe. Yes. Frank.
Yes. Give me the lyric for this. Mm. The singing in the car.
Yes.
It's somebody other Mia.
Yes, Giannina Mia.
Oh, is it?
Can't give you that. It's only worth half a mark anyway. And the fourth one?
Is Sweet.
Yes, Sweet. Da di da di da da da
sweet. Peggy O. Peggy O'Lee.
Yes, Peggy O'Neill, we'll give you that one, right. Ian. Or Dennis, the next one.
Rose O'Day.
Rose O'Day. Yes. Then.
Yes. Then we got this very late in the day, actually. While Frank was singing Giannina Mia, I think we got Little Nellie Kelly.
Not quite. Little Annie Rooney.
Little Annie.
It's her cousin.
So you missed that one, but you probably got the other
that
two.
That was on Mother Rooney's doorstep. That's what I missed that.
So, then, 2 more left.
Walter, take me to the altar.
Yes. And the fruit.
The fruit.
Yes.
We have no bananas today.
We have no bananas today. Yeah. Yes, that was...
My father once sent me down when I was a little boy to the greengrocers. He said, go down and sing them, Yes, We Have No Bananas. I remember going down to the little boy, going, Yes, We Have No Bananas. He said, push off.
For one of our listeners in America, life is just beginning. Mrs. Pat Ford of Prince George in Virginia is approaching that birthday which can best be expressed as 40. Mrs. Ford wonders whether you have a suitable song. for a young girl of 39 as she contemplates her 40th birthday. Whether you console her or make her feel worse is up to you. So, song for a lady on reaching 40. Any ideas? I'll accept an idea from any quarter.
When she gets there, she's going to sing, I've got a feeling I'm 40.
I think you want an LP called Songs for Swinging Quadragenarians.
The theme song from 39 Steps. I actually written down here while John was doing his that she is afraid that Noel Gay was right in a very early song of his, which goes everything stops 40.
if her boyfriend was a champion darts player, could be from a song Oh Mistress Mine. Be in delay, there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, double 20.
Right.
June in January, September in the rain, all in an April evening. Music titles often celebrate various months of the year, as do performers' names like Joe March or Maggie May. John, can you work out this pianist's name or nom? Pianist, month.
I think it's Winnie the Pooh Long.
No, the pianist and the month.
Is it English?
Well, I said his name or his nom.
Nom.
I see.
Get it?
It was Dennis helping.
Ah!
Dennis was helping things along then.
It's right. Jacques Février.
Got it straight away.
He was a great friend of Willie the Pooh. No.
Memo for John. Must listen to questions before answering. Yes. Frank,
listening.
Yeah, right. Back to 1927 and what may well have been the favourite record of Lady Inverclyde.
I saw those little boy blues. My heart's right down in my shoes. That's why each moment I lose is fretting me.
Extraordinarily pretty girl of the period, isn't she? She appeared in musical shows, and she was always called June, Lady Inverclyde.
Yes, well, not always.
No.
She was originally called June Tripp, then she was June, and then she became Lady Inverclyde.
She's one of the Tripp singers, Sound of Music.
No. Little Boy Blues, sung by June. Ian, you probably know this singer by her first name.
It is April Cantilow.
April Cantilow, right, yes, singing a little Haydn there. Dennis, a pianist for you. No ideas?
Try Libermarchi.
I'm trying to think. Billy May. What?
No, not Billy May, no. What's the month I had in mind? Anybody in the audience? Anybody know? The month was August. Jan August.
Oh, Jan
August. Yeah. Odd lines from songs. Question, which songs? John, When the Sun Has Gone to Rest. Comes from...
Oh!
There's a time that...
Isn't that from a song by Delius?
In a way.
Called...
Or Harry Lauder.
Because it was a song, I think, if that's the right one.
I don't know.
I told you what it is.
Oh, do you do?
Yes.
But don't listen, do
Frank.
You?
But I'm talking.
Go your own way all the time. I'm fed up with it. So, Harry Lauder.
When the sun has gone to rest.
That's the time of our birth.
That's right.
I've no idea what's it. No marks. Frank, you see if you know yours. It's a little more difficult. The Gay Continental Rapscallion.
Olga, is it?
Yes.
Is it Olga? Is it Olga the Beautiful Spy?
Olga. Do you remember her surname?
No.
Oh, go on. You've Olga Polofsky.
So Olga Polofsky.
Olga Polofsky.
There's a lovely line in that. She goes, Olga... The egg, Olga Polofsky, the beautiful, the gay continental rapscallion. Some say she's Russian, and some say she's French, and some say she's gin and Italian.
It dates it beautifully, yeah, doesn't it?
Sort of Billy Bennett joke, yeah, isn't it? Ian, a quote again. A hole in her shoe.
Oh, yes,
you mentioned it.
This is Mother Rooney's daughter.
Oh, Mother Kelly's, she's got a hole in her stocking, a hole in her shoe. Yeah.
Sung by Mickey Kelly.
Yeah.
Dennis, your question's a bit different. Which song was being sung when the members of Tommy Dorsey's band were chanting words like, oh, the way I like it, darling, I'm yours, have a little faith in me, living in a great big way.
Living in a great big way. Yes. Marie, the dawn is breaking.
Let's hear a bit of it. Here's a half chorus.
In all its splendor, your kiss,
oh, the way I
so
like
very
it,
tender, the words
spoken as came from
will
you
surrender?
Oh,
Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. Jack Leonard, I think, was the singer, if I remember rightly. The final songs all start with A. All of Me, A Child's Garden of Verses, All on Account of a Strawberry Sunday, and The Ash Grove.
You couldn't get a thing like that happening again in a million years, could you?
Frank.
It's a big song. I went complete hush. It's what I call a big song, this. Where were you? All of me. Why not take all of me? Can't you see? I'm no good without you. Take my lips. I want to lose them. Take my arms. I'll never use them. Your goodbyes left me with I that cries. How can I go on, dear, without you? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take my liver, my lungs, my feet, my knees? Take the lot. Go on, good riddance. What do I care?
I'm sorry, the music got to me.
All right. That's the chord I owe you. Yeah. I mentioned A Child's Garden of Verses, poems ever so slightly dated now by RLS, set to music by Malcolm Williamson. John's song is called The Flowers.
All the names I know from nurse, gardener's garter, shepherd's purse, bachelor's buttons, lady's smock, and the lady hollyhock. Fairy places, fairy things, fairy woods where the wild bee wings, tiny trees for tiny dames, these must all be fairy names.
Now for that Strawberry Sunday and Dennis to tell the tale.
They flirted on Friday and married on Monday, all on account of a strawberry sundae. They built a house for two. Believe it or not, that's what a sundae can do. If they had ordered vanilla or drank sarsaparilla, there might not have been a love scene. The But all on account of a strawberry sundae, their oldest boy is now 16.
Steve, that in 15 years, whatever we've been running, Dennis has got better. He's killing the show.
That's a rotten thing to say.
Ian will now pensively rove down yonder green valley.
The ash grove, how graceful, how plainly it is speaking. The heart through its playing has language for me. Whenever the light through its branches is breaking, a host of kind faces is gazing on me. The friends of my childhood again are before me. Each step wakes a memory as freely I roam. With soft whispers laden, its leaves rustle o'er me. The ash grove, the ash grove, alone is my home.
Totting up time, that's a victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.